time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Holly from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 159 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens.
More chickens! We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton. But most importantly,
we hug chickens every day.
And we kiss them too, don't forget. We brew coffee from a little coffee house in historic Gettysburg, PA. Bantam Coffee Roasters. Holly Ann, what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
We're going classic again today with the French roast.
You like that French roast?
I do.
Let me tell you. So where can everybody get their cup? Bantam Coffee Roasters.
BantamRoasters.com.
And use our code FluffyButt for 10% off the entire website. And follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Are you ready to sip some of this delicious French roast and chat?
I am, but first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. They're here, new and improved, Grubly's World Harvest.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats, plus orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein, perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
Grubly Farms makes food and treats for healthy pets and planet.
To support us and Grubly's, go to our website or our show notes and use the link. Try it today. The countdown to Christmas has begun.
It has.
So, how are you doing over there?
I'm fantastic.
On the other side of the table.
Yeah. All this distance between us. I am doing very, very well. Yourself?
I am trying to get ready for the holiday. I think I said this the other day. December 1st needs to be your prep, and then Christmas needs to be pushed back to like January.
Oh my God, you're just prolonging it.
Yes, prolonging it. That's what I do well.
I just, you know, I throw a lot of it out the window. I just do what I can get to and don't stress about the rest.
I know, it's going to be gift cards galore. I'm just warning you.
Have I ever complained about a gift card?
Yes. No, I'm just joking.
I was going to say, you.
Oh, I'm just JKing.
Is that what the kids say? Just JK?
Ella was saying that to me earlier.
She was. That child is funny.
She said that we were only fun to boring people.
She did say that.
She said,
I'm not sure what to do with that.
When I said, I'm not buying your McDonald's, she goes, I'm just JKing. I'm just JKing.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what she does.
It was really funny. That child cracks me up.
She's a funny little thing.
She is. Yeah.
She knows about a lot of things, too. Like
she
tunnels.
She does. She knows about a lot of things.
Did we ever tell everybody that I fell asleep the last hour of the Ohio trip and was talking in my sleep to you?
I don't know that we needed to share that publicly, but sure.
That's how much we talk.
It was very amusing.
That I was in my sleep and still talking
to you. You were just
as
funny in your sleep as you are awake.
You were. I was telling you how Ella knows about a lot of things. I mean, she's 14.
Well, you know,
what does
number
she know
one, you're asleep after a really long road trip, so you're not going to say anything that makes sense.
No.
Nothing whatsoever.
But it was funny.
I mean, obviously, somewhere in your consciousness, you knew we were driving through the Harbor Tunnel.
Something. I was half asleep.
Yeah.
So, wait, are you ready for the holidays?
Yeah, pretty well. I'm baking right now. Yeah, but here's the thing, Chris. My house is small. It's not like I have to do a ton of decorating. Some years I don't even decorate, and that's the truth.
You do the Christmas tree. You do the chicken tree.
I do the chicken tree, and sometimes that's it. Other years, like this year, I had, you know, and last year I was sick, and so.
Oh my God, you had a horrible season last year.
I was so sick.
Felt so bad for you.
But this year, I managed to, you know, get some decorating done.
I know. I'm in the middle of it now because the kids have a standard of decorating that they want.
And I bought this. I've got it on my mantle surrounded with greenery, and I love it. When we were in Ohio, I bought this great big carved wooden rooster. He clearly came off a banister or something.
Yes, that's the same place that I got my coffee carafe.
Yes. And I think we got some rings in there.
Oh, yeah. My crown.
Costume
ring.
Jewelry. Yeah. Yeah. But yes, so I really just love the way he looks. You know, he's kind of shabby chic.
Oh, I love that. Everything is about mantles this season.
Yeah.
If you look at all the reels, so my mantle's done up really well. I always do live greenery, but I hate it when it starts to dry out.
Yes.
Instantly, so I waited a little longer.
The tradition there was always on 12th night, because remember, 12th night used to be a huge holiday. And George and Martha Washington actually got married at their own 12th night party.
Yeah.
But where I was going with that is in a lot of places, it's a tradition to take down the greens and burn them on 12th night. Just
because
they're in the fireplace.
They're ready.
They're ready. They're dry. It works perfectly. So I love that. Just pull that stuff down right off the mantle, right in the fireplace. Let
there
it go.
There you go. There you go.
So, yeah.
Well, on that note, listening to our show and you're loving it, head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a written review. It does amazing things for the growth of our show. And while you're there, another thing that you wouldn't think helps us a lot.
Why wouldn't you think that?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Hit that subscribe button. You know, you will never miss an episode. And it's another great way we grow.
If you're looking for other ways to help support the podcast, you can share your favorite episodes on social media. You can tell a few chicken-loving friends about the podcast.
A whole lot.
You can check out our Etsy shop. T-shirts, mugs, tiny chickens. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. And the other thing you can do to help support the podcast is visit our website and our show notes, use our affiliate links and discount codes, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the August box, I absolutely love those amazingly good-smelling NestBox herbs and that giant roll of rooster stickers.
They're great. I love the wood decorative plate. It's going up in our studio today. And with all my baking, those egg separators are going to work awesomely.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order, and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
Have you heard of Strong Animals Chicken Essentials? They make natural supplements for your flock.
Strong Animals has used plant-based products and natural approaches to promote the health and vitality of backyard flocks. Their products contain organic essential oils, prebiotics, and other natural ingredients to support the immune system and digestive health. Give your chicks and chickens what they need to thrive with Strong Animals health products. Visit GetStrongAnimals.com today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock. Request a free catalog today. Eat the biscuits.
No.
Eat the biscuits. Eat the biscuits. Get the goodness of the biscuits. It's time for Breed Spotlight with the honey sauce and the butter spread. Oh, yeah.
Get your honey spread all up on me.
It's time for...
I don't even know where to go with this. It's time for the Breed Spotlight. Yeah.
Well, this week's Breed Spotlight is...
the Frisian Gull. And I apologize to this chicken because, wow. We took a cheap social media laugh and put it in our show because that's how we roll.
We can't stop laughing. We keep watching it over and over again.
I keep singing it. I can't stop myself.
It gets in your head and it does not come out.
I don't like the way it mixes with my mac and cheese.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Okay, Breed Spotlight.
I was singing it before we move on to the chickens this morning while I was on the phone with Holly because I was putting their chicken elixir in their water and I was singing, drink the water. It's got the goodness in the water.
Yes. Did they drink any more of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they did.
Okay. So let's talk about the Frisian Gull.
The Frisian Gull. We have already derailed this episode. The Frisian Gull. The Frisian or Frisian Gull is a beautiful but little known European heritage breed of chicken. They're a land race breed that developed in the Netherlands, though they were also kept in Belgium and Germany.
Did they have an IKEA there?
Probably. I love me some IKEA, especially at Christmas. Now, their name comes from Friesland, which is a coastal island area in the north of the Netherlands. And I'm mentioning this because this area has produced some notable livestock breeds.
Okay.
Including the Frisian milk sheep.
Yes.
Which is a great dairy sheep.
Yes.
And the beautiful black Frisian horses.
Yes. Can we go?
I would love to. Let's do it.
Let's go see all the... horses and the chickens and the sheep.
We cannot keep singing through this whole episode.
No, we're not.
The Frisian Gull, I was trying to figure out why they called it a gull. And the only thing I could find...
it looks like a seagull.
No, the bird itself does not look like a seagull. But what I found is that people think the chicks look like seagull chicks.
Does it come in... is this one here also? See that picture right there?
No, which picture are you looking at?
That one.
Yeah.
It does look a little like a seagull.
Well, we call the Fiamis the seagulls in my house.
Well, it does look a little bit like
But that's not, it's supposed to be the chicks.
But I still see it in the adults.
A little bit.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Frisian gull.
Thank you very much.
They're very pretty birds.
They remind me of the Hamburg.
For a lot of good reasons.
Oh, yeah.
The Hamburg and the Death Layer and the Egyptian Fayumi, the Sicilian Buttercup.
They all look alike.
They all look alike. Okay. Frisian chickens are believed to be a very, very old breed. I saw several sources claiming that archaeological evidence exists that proves they were in existence 1,000 years ago.
It's a long time.
It is. But, and you know this is a pet peeve of mine, none of these sources mentioned where they got this information. There were no sources listed.
That would not go over well.
No. So, I had to dig, and I did a lot of digging. Eventually, I found a record of a still life painting from the 1600s that contains a Frisian chicken. Okay, so that's a little further back.
Right.
And I also found mention in an archaeology text, which was called Paleohistoria. That one, I couldn't tell exactly what the time period was.
Okay.
So I dug more. And after more digging, I found that there has been an archaeological excavation of a town called Snick. It's spelled S-N-E-E-K. I believe it's pronounced Snick.
Okay.
It's an Iron Age town in Friesland. And they uncovered some evidence during one of the digs that is believed to be from Frisian chickens in the 10th century. So there's your 1,000 years.
There's your 1,000 years.
Unfortunately, I didn't really have a lot of access and I couldn't find anything more specific. There was also mention of eggshells that had been found in layers of debris and rubbish that dated from like the 12th through the 17th centuries. You know how
right
by each period there's another level down? So what I found there is that both chicken and duck eggs were found within those layers.
So they were using them the way that we all say to use them now, composting and using them to grow their vegetables or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Besides this, besides the fact that they're so ancient that there's archaeological evidence, there's no big story for the Frisians that I could find.
It's just that they're old.
Yeah. They're a rare breed around the world. So even in their homeland, across the world, they are a rare breed. And because they're a land race breed, there's no big origin story for them. There's no one breeder who takes credit for working with them. But what we can tell you is that they need some definite conservation breeding now.
Oh, yeah. They're rare.
They really do.
They're very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lamb race means they're going to come in all different colors. There's no standard of perfection.
But that's the funny thing.
That's the fun part of this chicken.
Is that there are, I mean, there are obviously in the Netherlands, there are more colors than there were here or in the UK.
Right.
But as a lamb race, they actually do have some distinct color varieties.
Oh, I'm looking at them here online. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's the black and white. There's the golden. There's an even deeper color, red there. I mean, there's a lot of different color varieties. Here's a buff. We're going to use the official terms in a second,
yes.
But I'm just looking at what I was seeing online mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different colors, and that's what you get with the land race breed.
Right.
It's kind of like, I always say, the grab bag of chicks. You never know what you're going to get until they start to grow up, mm-hmm. which is fun.
It is fun.
Okay, so let's look at them. They are light-bodied chickens. Males are coming in at 3.5 to 4, and the little girls are coming in at 3 to 3.5. They're smaller than leghorns.
That's a little chicken.
That's a little bigger than a bantam, so they're in between bantam and Mediterranean.
But guess what?
There's a bantam version.
There is a bantam version.
How come
version?
I knew you were going to say that?
I can't even imagine what that looks like.
It must be like a 1 pound chicken.
Tiny.
I mean, because this chicken, the boys are only 3.5 to 4.
That's a small rooster right there.
That's like Lucy is the boy.
George with a couple of pounds on him, yeah.
Right, exactly. Now, like Holly Ann was saying, they're also in this bantams. So, and, you know, they're pretty good. They look like the Hamburgs.
Mm-hmm. They're beautiful
chickens. So they have straight combs, white earlobes, slate blue legs, and an upright tail. They remind me a little bit of the Mediterranean's, a little bit, but
like I said, the Sicilian Buttercup and the Egyptian Fayumi being Mediterranean both have a lot of resemblance to these. I mean, again, you're right. They look like the Hamburgs, the Campine, the Brackle.
I was just going to say Campine.
Yep.
When you look at them, that's who they look like in the black and white version of them.
That's actually known as the silver, just the way it is in the Fayumis too.
Okay, so let's go ahead and officially name these colors. They're silver laced.
Gold laced.
The chamois laced.
And the chamois laced is sometimes also known as lemon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So those are the three colors you find in the US and the UK.
Now their heads are of a solid color and their bodies have all the lacing on the feathers.
Right.
So you get the best of both worlds.
Absolutely.
There you go. And they're really pretty. Now, breeders in the Netherlands and Germany are working on other color varieties, including a cuckoo and the red mottled. which that would be really, really pretty.
They're very pretty. If you do a Google search, you can find them.
Now, instead of worrying about other color varieties, we need them to worry about getting them more accessibly available.
Absolutely.
To the public so that we can save this breed of chicken.
Right.
So hens are going to come in at very good layers of large white or cream eggs. Large eggs, but they're tiny.
Right.
It's kind of like leghorns.
Like leghorns, yeah.
At around 200 to 230 per year. Again, they're great layers, and they generally do not go broody.
Like most of the other chickens that look like this. Most of them are not broody, yeah.
Which is great.
Now, they're not unfriendly chickens, but they are known as being very independent and are usually not affectionate.
That's land race.
Right. They're smart. They're excellent foragers. And they definitely need free range time to keep them happy. They have a reputation for being extremely hardy and healthy, which is great.
Yeah.
They are often called flighty, and that is the truth because they are really, really good flyers.
With any chicken this size.
Yeah.
They're good flyers. The ones who aren't are the big chickens that can't fly because of their weight.
Right.
Anybody with feathers and wings can fly.
A 3-pound bird, of course, they're going
to
fly.
Right. So, you know, they're small enough to be able to take off, so you need an aviary for them, unless you want to be chasing some chickens up in a tree.
Right. I mean, you can certainly free range them because they're supposed to be very good free rangers, you know, predator savvy, etc. I think the lacing gives them a lot of camouflage. But again, if they're that endangered and you don't want to keep them around,
right.
You want to take pains that they're not getting picked off by predators. Yeah.
Exactly. You want to make sure they're not getting picked off. This is a very rare chicken, so we need to protect them.
Now, Friesians showed up in the UK in the 1980s.
Okay.
In the US, Greenfire Farm imported Friesians in 2014, and they were selling them at one point. I know, and when I say recently, it could be any time in the past couple years, but I know recently I saw them available, but they're no longer listed on the website.
Oh, man.
So I would say your best bet, I mean, you can always email Greenfire and ask if they're going to have them anymore.
Right.
But I would also do a Google search and see if you can find anyone who got Greenfire stock that is continuing to breed.
Yeah. Is a place like Sandhill Preservation have them or no?
I didn't check Sandhill, actually.
So Greenfire Farm, you can just message them also.
Yeah.
On their social and say, hey, I heard about this great chicken on Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. Mm-hmm. They need some help. Do you carry them? I would love to have one. I mean, right. They're great layers for you. So check them out.
Yeah. Friesian is F-R-I-S-I-A-N, Friesian.
Yeah. Now, here's the part of the show where I say, if you have this breed of chicken, send us over your pictures. Well, share them in your story and mention us, and then we can give you a share on ours very easily and show your chickens off. We love to do this. It's amazing. It's so much fun.
Right. If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera.
Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill.
Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories.
Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it.
Quick shipping from Nestera.us.
For a 5% discount, use the affiliate link in our show notes, on our website, and on Instagram. Link in bio. Check them out today. Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. They're back with an innovative new product. You're going to want to check this out.
It's an extra large set, a 14-pound feeder and 3-gallon water with steep anti-roost lids. They're made of super durable material. You can either stand them on legs or hang them on brackets on your coop or fence. They're easy to remove and clean too. Plus, they look awesome.
We personally use Roosties and we're huge fans. So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, check out the Roosties store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes. Okay, so are we ready to move on to main topic? Yeah. This week's main topic is a roundtable with
Fiona the Floof Lady.
Yay, so enjoy. It's about that time that we go across the pond and have
coffee with Fiona.
Yeah.
See, I didn't come in this time. Thought I'd wait and see what would happen.
Perfect.
Hey, so perfect.
Fiona.
How are you?
We're good. How are you doing?
Cold.
Yeah.
It's freezing, man.
It is freezing. We went from hot to freezing.
I know. I wouldn't mind if it wasn't for that biting wind. It's just too much. And then, of course, the floofs have got wind up their feathers as well. So they're not happy little bunnies either.
I think we've been having twin weather the last few days because we've had wind whipping It's been in the 20s with wind chills in the teens here and not pleasant for our chickens. Horrible.
It went down to 18 degrees Fahrenheit last night.
Ah, no.
What's that in Celsius?
Minus 7.78 degrees.
Oh, no. No, yes. No, I'm staying indoors if it gets down to that. No, oh, it's not too bad here. It's only -2 at night and it's about 4 degrees Celsius during the day. So it's not too bad at all. It's a little bit nippy is how I would call it.
I would say that too. I said it's a little bit nippy.
This was bat past nippy. This was just freaking cold.
That's why my sweater today goes to my ankles.
You do have a little longer sweater.
Definitely long john time, isn't it, when you get down to that kind of temperature.
I find my long johns today. So Pete was laughing at me. I put on a pair of yoga leggings and then pulled fleece joggers over that. I don't care what it looked like. I just needed to be warm.
I don't care either. That's the kind of thing I would do.
Yeah.
I'm with you on this.
So how's everybody doing over at your place?
Not too bad at all. The last of the youngsters went to their forever homes a while ago. So we've now got the core team. We're down to the core team and they are looking amazing. So this year's theme are seabirds because we have got, you know, my little Gannet, you know, my little pet Gannet. So we now have Gannet 2.0 because she is the reincarnation of the original Gannet. Oh. Honest to goodness, I keep looking at her and thinking it's Gannet. So she is Gannet 2.0 and that's her full name. She's never called Gannet. It's Gannet 2.0. We've then got Pelican, we've got Puffin, we've got Egret, and we've got Flamingo to go on.
I love Puffin. That's so cute. That's
so cute.
She is. She's, and honestly, she is huge. She's like this sphere is Puffin. She's absolutely lovely, but the one with the most personality is Flamingo.
Flamingo would be more my style there. I'd be like, Flamingo, let's go.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she's really flamboyant. She's got so much personality with her. So, yeah. But what about your teams? How are they doing?
We're hanging in.
Yeah, everyone's well. I mean, they don't like the cold. They don't like the cold. And we did have on heaters, you know, in the Nan Coops last night because it was so incredibly cold.
Yeah, the Nankins are tiny though, aren't they? They need that extra support.
Yeah.
And even the little Duclay, Rambo, Pete's little pet rooster, Pete's spoiled darling rooster.
That you had to call Pete the other day to get him because you couldn't.
Oh, that's right. Apparently, Pete has instructed me that my mistake is that I tried to put him in too early. And now I know better. I said, you go get your darling. Even he has his little heater too. I call him the $2,000 rooster because that's about what Pete spent on the run for that bird.
But after my own heart. That's perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Every morning that's been cold, I'll go take care of all the birds and I'll come in and he'll say, head of Rambo, look.
That sounds like what I do to the girls when they come in. I'll be like, how did everybody look? Did everybody look good?
Yes.
You see, I've got the opposite problem because I was in a meeting yesterday, so Hugh had to put the birds to bed. And of course, you know, I could see him. My little office window directly looks over the chicken field. So I can see him out with his head torch on walking around. So when I went downstairs, I knew he'd been out to check on everyone. And I said, so did Sassy and Missy get an okay? Which one are they?
No.
Is that the red leg band and the blue leg band? I know those two.
Oh my goodness. I don't know which one is better or worse, honestly. How was Rambo? Was he okay? Every morning.
Well, if you like, we can swap for a little while and see. Because trust me, it'll be a case of, how does Rambo look? It's much, much better than...
You might be right.
Which one for those two?
And Hugh might be happier with you than me because I'm likely to draw him a diagram, labels. This is Sassy. I need you to know this information. So,
well, what I did last year was I actually wrote it down and I wrote it down and popped it on the fridge so he could see colored leg band and the name and that helped. So I just need to do the same thing this year.
Jeez.
Oh my goodness.
Well.
So we are here in December, the month of the holiday of Christmas. Whoa.
Woo.
Yeah. Woo. Busy, busy Busy, busy, busy.
Wait, do we have birthdays like 3 months in a row? November, December, January?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we
Isn't
do.
Isn't that
yeah.
funny?
And I yep. am 35.
Congratulations. Okay, so this was the weirdest thing. Sorry, I'm not sure whether I was... No, you can laugh.
I can laugh because I'm the oldest one of the
You lot, are the so oldest of the three of us. Laugh. You can. Oh, I was at the grocery store. Now,
somebody said your best friend's 35?
No. No. Okay. It's not always about you, Chrissy.
It is.
And no, granted, I had just finished up at the farm. You know, I was clipping sheep toenails, and I'm sure I look kind of wild and scruffy. Stopped at the grocery store, and the woman says, "Hun, do you get senior discounts?" Oh, God. And I said, because I'm always thinking with my wallet,
"Yes.
Darn, I wish I did."
I just said,
No, I couldn't. I should have said, I've been getting it for 5 years now, but I didn't. I should.
I could tell you a story there. Shall I tell you a story? Which
Yes.
I was married before, and my ex-husband was, he was only 7 years older than me, but I've always looked very young for my age.
You look amazing.
Bless you. Thank you.
You're you do.
Best friend.
Our beautiful friend, Fiona.
Now. Best friends. But anyway, so I did look a lot younger than him, to be fair. And we went to this museum and my ex-husband was buying tickets. And the woman behind the counter said to my husband, "So is your daughter on a student discount then?"
Oh, no.
Can you imagine how that went down?
We're going to segue from those pain points into some different pain points.
Now that we've talked about our husbands,
we're talking about soft tissue injury this week.
We're kind of sliding into the soft tissue injury topic.
Sliding into soft tissue.
It can happen.
Yeah, probably more than we realize.
I think it happens a lot more than we realize. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they will show it and sometimes they will not.
Right. And sometimes it will resolve on its own. And sometimes it will not.
Exactly.
And as chicken keepers, I feel like there's not tons of information out there right now about soft tissue injuries. Not a lot of treatment options in a lot of ways. This is an area that probably needs more exploration or more research.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it does.
So when we're talking soft tissue injuries, we're talking about what? Sprains, strains.
And automobiles.
Limps, moving strange ways. And that's the thing. It's about, if you spend a lot of time with them, you know how they move around.
Yep.
So you know if they're moving strangely. I mean, for us, I mean, you know the big Orpingtons we've got. The most common one for us, if they're in a higher coop off the ground, particularly the cockerels, they are big birds, like 4.5 kilos in size, and they come exploding out of the coops in the morning. And they leap down to the ground and lo and behold, you end up with strained ligaments and limpy cockerels. And, you know, it's a point at which you've actually got to say, this is a problem. You've got heat. There's an issue. We know there's not a break. I've consulted. I know that there's not a bigger issue going on there, but actually you need a bit of isolation, a bit of TLC and a bit of care going on. But you're only going to know that by keeping an eye on them. And then actually there's a point at which is when do you make the decision actually that this isn't just going to be TLC, that you need to be progressing. And if you're not sure, ask the question. Go to your vet, go to your professional. And that's the thing. If you're not sure, ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
The thing, it's very hard to, like you said, a bird that's limping, there might be some swelling and heat in a space. You can take them to the vet. The vet can do an x-ray to rule out breaks. But then other than that, they kind of have to just palpate and feel and try to figure it out from there.
And a lot of times you can even have soft tissue, even though you can have that kind of injury, even in the toes themselves.
Yeah.
They can twist a toe. They can twist something else. It's not a break. It's something that I'm going to go back to when we had Dr. Rebecca on a few weeks ago and we talked about pain management.
Right.
This is where you partner with your veterinarian so that you can get the proper medication to support them through this.
Because you can get not just pain.
Anti-inflammatories.
You can get anti-inflammatories as well. Yeah.
Which will help soft tissue injuries.
Do you have off-label anti-inflammatories for chickens there?
I've never seen them. The only time we've ever got them is from a veterinary professional. I've never seen anything over-the-counter that we can purchase. We've only ever got it from a vet.
That's us too. You have to partner with your veterinarian.
Yeah.
I want to backtrack just a second and go back and talk about the things that we need to look for. So we need to know routine, what they do every day. What Fiona was saying, when they come out of the coop, we need to know how they move around.
Right.
How they walk, what they normally do, because what you're looking for are slight differences.
Actually, the cockerels coming out, that's a good thing to start with because they are usually the bigger birds and they also do that dance. If you have a cockerel who's kind of bumbling around and he's right. not smooth in his moves, keep an eye on him because you might see something going on with those legs.
So somebody that normally isn't with your chickens may not pick up on a different behavior right. that right. you are. If they are not going directly to the food bowl, standing hunched or just standing still, not just only a limp, but not moving is a sign to get them and look at them, look them over and yeah. see if you see anything.
I mean, really, your first questions are probably, is it Bumblefoot? Can I rule out Bumblefoot?
That's the first thing you're going to look at.
Are there any visible injuries?
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of move into, could this be a break or could this be soft tissue injury?
So you're going to look for swelling in the legs, the toes, the feet, all those areas first. After you go through Bumblefoot to see if you see any swelling. And like Fiona said, heat. If you feel heat, yeah. that can a sure sign that an injury of some sort has happened. Then you do want to take them out because they should not be with everybody at that point.
Their chickens have so many things that can happen that can throw off their walking, including neurological things. I mean, I feel like there's this whole battery of possibilities. So observation, I mean, really does have to be your number one in the case of possible soft tissue.
And the thing is, when it's to do with their walking and their legs, as you said, start at the base. So go for their feet first. I check the nails, the claws first. Then it's their base of the foot. Then I'm moving up to the joints. And that's normally where I feel the heat. Do you remember Limpy Chick last year that I
had? Yes. Yes.
The youngster, so she was so young, she hadn't been named yet because I wasn't sure whether she was going to be a keeper or a sailor. So I called her Limpy Chick. So I went out one morning and she couldn't even stand. And major panic. This wasn't just a change in her walking. This chicken could not stand at all. Now, immediately, I checked her over. There was no sign of her claws were all still intact. There was no cuts on her feet. There was heat in a joint between the foot and the leg. Mm-hmm. And there was heat at her elbow. It was probably about the knee.
Yeah,
the best we know what you mean. You know what I mean. And there was a small cut on her leg, just a small cut, not deep, not bleeding still. It was just a tiny cut. And she was examined by, took to the vet because she couldn't stand. I was major panicking. So x-ray, not a break. There was swelling. There was heat. There was palpated it, moved it around. And basically it was just give her some isolator, prevent her from moving around. So she actually lived in a dog crate for 3 days. And when she could actually stand, we then moved her into a very small coop with a very small run so she could just get outside of the door, which actually she sat on the door for about 3 or 4 more days and then went out.
Okay.
But she was in there for about 2 weeks before we let her back out with the flock again until we were comfortable that she could actually move around without being in pain. There was no more heat in her leg. But that was an unbelievable panic. So it can happen in that way. It's something where she had hurt herself. What we think had happened, somehow she'd managed to get herself caught in a piece of wire that got into the orchard. Goodness knows how it got there. I don't know how it had got in, but I did find a piece of wire that had been looped in the area that I found her in. So I think that's what she got caught around her leg.
That would explain the cut too.
Yeah, she wasn't able to free herself and she'd actually wrenched her leg in her panic to get away.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can think of. And
that's a good point, is chickens can get stuck in a fencing area, like you said, and pull it. The other thing I want to bring up to everyone is to know that the leg extends more than what you see. So that leg part, you can see that part, but the leg goes all the way up under the feathers. So that bigger part of the leg is up higher. that is an area where soft tissue injury can happen.
And it was that hip joint, which was actually the worst. And she'd really pulled her leg. And that's what the vet thought. She'd actually done pulled it so badly.
She's got the hip joint up there. And then I think this is the hock. The knee is like the hock joint, is what I call it sometimes.
Yeah.
Then the ankle and then each individual toe. So, like, it's kind of simple in some ways, but there's a lot of stuff in there that they could possibly injure.
And we always talk about Drusilla and her torn ACL, which wasn't a soft tissue injury, but I thought it was at first.
I think that counts as a soft tissue
injury. Does it really?
I think it does.
So, she has a strange gait that she's walked with for, like, 5 years now. And because of the torn ACL, that couldn't be surgically repaired. She did get pulled out and got rested. She was out for 6 weeks.
That was a weird circumstance. So Drusilla is a cuckoo Moran's and she's a big girl.
Yeah.
And while you can see soft tissue injuries in any bird, including a baby, I do think you see them more often in bigger birds.
Like Fiona's saying, like Orpingtons.
And so Drusilla came out and she was walking. Well, we called it, she had a little bit of a pitching or giddy up.
Yes, exactly.
But when she would take a step, her hock would kind of jut to the side.
And you know, now it's still swollen.
Like it's still swelled. Yeah.
It's still like it's deformed where I guess it has scar tissue around it now.
Because that whole ACL actually tore.
It tore.
Yeah.
And so she gets around completely fine. I mean, it's a new life for her. Like we say that she's special needs. She gets pain medicine when it's cold, like arthritis is probably set in there. So she gets treated accordingly. But those types of things can happen.
And that, I think that we're going to see a change in this as time goes on. But essentially the torn ACL, I took her to, this is before the days of Dr. Rebecca. So I took her to...
While you were babysitting her.
Yes. Dr. Ryan, who for ages was one of the only poultry vets in Maryland at Feather Scales and Tails. And that was during the height of COVID. So I just had to hand my best friend's hand to these people.
And he said, that's a beautiful hand.
He did. He said, Mrs. Callahan, this is a beautiful hand.
I'm like, thank you.
She looks great, but she's got a torn ACL. And I don't know anyone who could fix it for you. He said, I don't even know where I could refer you because no one really wants to do the surgery because chicken bones are so fragile.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, she's lived her life 5 years since. You know, like,
still got that hitch in her giddy up.
Right? Yeah. Like, as a special needs, just getting the things to help her through, she still has it. She lives a wonderful life with it.
And because of that, though, she does fall under special needs because she essentially has soft tissue injury that we can never fix.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and even just hitting their toe on something or their leg on a roost on anything can give some swelling, some soft tissue injury. And I think, like you said, I think the most important thing is to isolate. And to get them x-rayed to make sure there's nothing broken and then anti-inflammatory from your veterinarian.
The exam that Fiona gave, I should probably write that up in the show notes because I think that's really good.
Yeah.
Start here at the bottom and
start at the toenail and work your way up.
Yeah.
Of the leg. And, you know, sometimes chickens aren't limping. They're just not moving. So you have to always look at all of them because they can hit things just as easily as anybody else.
Yeah. And there's no way, I mean, other than feeling it or having your vet give it a good once over, there's no way to really know the severity of a sprain or a strain when it comes to a chicken. Yeah.
Sometimes the vet will stabilize it with what's called a Robert Jones bandage.
Oh, here we go. Stop. This is part of the Drusilla story.
Well,
so remember, Chrissy was, I mean, like a crackerjack nurse. That's what she did. So she brings me Drusilla. And Drusilla is all
a trauma nurse, so I knew what to do.
Drusilla is all trussed up in what they call a Robert Jones bandage, which is a bandage that adds stability
to
a limb.
But
it's all soft, right? It's not a rigid cast. Okay. Here's what I'm going to tell you about this. Chrissy calls it the Bobby Jones. I swear to God, it took me 10 minutes to get bandage scissors through this bandage. And the whole time, Drusilla's laying there looking at me like, lady, what are you doing?
She'd been through that many times because I had bandaged and unbandaged it. At one point, I thought the toe was broken, so the toe was included in the bandage, but it was the torn ACL. But this is a stabilizing bandage that your veterinarian can do to stabilize a soft tissue injury so that it gives it time to heal.
And the genius of it, I think, is that when you wrap it, you kind of make these stirrups at the bottom.
Yes.
That you then, the motion is everything's going up
right
to add stability. And though I make fun of her for it, it really does work.
It was a work of, my bandages are a work of art. It was one of my things I loved doing.
I wasn't offered that with Limpy Chick. I was just told to keep her isolated and try and stop her moving.
I would always pride myself on my bandages because, you know, as a vet tech, as a trauma nurse, you're like, this bandage can't come off because then somebody's coming back.
Especially with a chicken.
Yeah, somebody's going to be coming back and saying, I just paid a lot of money to have this bandage put on and it fell off. So after 15 years of doing them, it was like art for me, like to get them on the way that they need to. And so Drusilla had one on for a long time. But you know what? In the end, it probably did help stabilize the knee.
Yeah, because essentially it's giving support to whatever part of the limb needs it.
So if you have soft tissue, we're going to say isolate, examine, support, X-ray and meds.
So I think it's also worth saying, actually, as you said right at the beginning, there are other reasons for, if you've seen this change in movement, change in behavior, there are other things which will need to be investigated if you can't find a soft tissue injury. Because, you know, Frankie, you know, neurological issues with Frankie, you know, she limped for years after her brain injury, bless her little cotton socks, but... You know, there are illnesses which will cause them to limp. There's all sorts of things which are worth looking at.
Yeah, you kind of have to rule out a lot of stuff.
And I feel like that's why it's really important to partner with your veterinarian and just take them in for an exam and say they're not acting right or they're limping, or because neurologically they can like have a head injury and it affects everything. So, you know, it's always good to rule those things out.
There can be viruses, diseases, genetic defects.
The list goes on and
it
on.
Just I recently had a hen that we've been treating for arthritis, and I noticed that she was limping badly, one of my Jersey Giants, and Dr. Rebecca has her on carprofen for arthritis, and it usually controls it very well, but it wasn't doing anything. And then I discovered, and this is a long story, which I won't tell you all about, but
I know it.
What was making her limp was a B12 deficiency.
Which we're going to be talking about in a different episode.
Yep.
It was that would never have occurred to me, actually.
Yeah, like I said, it's a long story how I realized it, but so we had her on the supplements for 3 days and she was able to climb back up on the top of the perch again. The moral of this story being, this is just one where you have got to get in there and really give your chickens the exam, get your hands on there, see if there's heat, because it's not one, it might resolve on its own, but it's not one that you're just going to figure out easily. So we're just giving you like, some of our experience, things we would do, things to look for. Like we said, this is really an area that probably needs a lot more medical research, a lot more tools and diagnostics for our veterinarians.
And if you have any problems or questions, feel free to message us at any time, email us, and ask us your questions to our best of our ability. We will answer them. If not, we will help you find a veterinarian. We do it all the time. And we want your chickens to be seen if they need to be. So contact us and we will help you. Fiona, it's been awesome talking to
you today. Just hang on a minute, because I have a bone to pick with you two ladies.
Oh, yes.
Remember our last round table? Do you remember the subject for the last round table?
Poop? Did we talk about poop?
We were. And what did you say at the end of the round table? You were going to
send you the poop pictures.
Yes.
Don't tell me.
Did you get some?
No, genuinely, I actually think this is a coincidence, but 2 days later, I got an email from a lady who had bought some chickens from us saying, one of the three chickens you sold me has got diarrhea. I don't know which one it is, but they've had it since day one.
Oh,
and
no.
And I said...
Send me a picture of the poop.
Said,
No, I know where this is going.
Yeah, it was sequel poop. It was absolutely perfectly normal. She just didn't realise. So that's number one. Then I get another query about poop from a YouTube follower. And it's just, this is too much of a coincidence. The people out there listening to you, so I've got bone to pick with the two of you.
I'm sorry. Well, now we're all here for soft tissue injuries. If you have a problem, message us.
What kind of friends will we be if we didn't share
poop pictures
the
with
joys
you.
Of poop?
Yeah, thanks. You. Thanks. It was
You're
great.
You're very welcome.
I think it was a genuine coincidence. It just made me chuckle so much. It really did. So I had to tell you.
Well, fecal poop is funny though. That is funny.
That is
it
funny.
Was, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a new chicken keeper, and it's, to be fair to any new chicken keeper, when you see it for
it's
the first
scary.
Time, it is. You think yep. something's yeah. wrong. So
oh, yeah.
It was a genuine question. It's a legitimate question. And I completely understand why she asked it.
Absolutely. So glad that you could be there for the poop pics, Fiona.
Yeah, well, thanks, mate. Know,
you're welcome. I want to say thank you to Fiona for coming on again this month for a roundtable. And I hope you have the merriest Christmas of all.
And you.
And thank you.
We're coming to see you soon. We have to. We have to. Or you have to come here. One or the other. Has to happen.
Yeah.
We're coming
Sorry,
to see
I'm
you.
Sorry, you're thinking when... Yeah, at some point we absolutely will. I'm just
we'll
not sure how we'd make it work, but
that's okay. We'll work it out. Point. Until next month, we'll talk to you later, Fiona.
See ya. Merry
Bye.
Christmas.
Bye.
We just want to thank Fiona one more time for spending a really fun hour with us chatting about soft tissue injury. It's something that there's not a lot of information about, so we hope by giving you the basics, it gives you one more diagnostic tool for your flock.
Definitely.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thanks, Fiona. Okay. So let's move on to
cracking the eggs.
Cracking those eggs. Now, it's December.
Yeah.
We're going to go with some good stuff, some good recipes in December because it's the time of eating.
This dessert is beautiful and delicious, and it is worthy of anyone's holiday table.
It's the spice pear tart.
Yeah, your girl can make a tart. My tart is a work of art.
Get the biscuits.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, yes, you can make a delicious tart.
Yeah.
This you're a very good baker.
Did you say I'm a very good baker?
I said you're a very good baker.
Thank you.
Well, I do compliment you a lot.
I know. You just mix it up really good.
I do.
With the butter sauce. Butter spread.
Okay.
This is a pretty easy tart, believe it or not. It looks really pretty and it tastes amazing. Your spices are going to be cardamom, nutmeg, and cinnamon, and they make your house smell so good while this is baking.
The spices of the season, because
right?
you don't want to be using the spices in the summer because it would smell like fall in your house.
It would.
Or winter.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are three components to this recipe, the crust, the filling, and the spice crumb topping. You can actually make each one ahead of time.
Okay.
Makes it easy. You can assemble them at the last minute.
Okay, so let's start with the ingredients of the crust. 1 1/4 cups of flour or all-purpose gluten-free flour, 1 to 1. 1 stick of butter, 1/2 cup or dairy-free butter. 1/2 teaspoon of sugar. 1 pinch of salt, 2 to 3 tablespoons of ice water. Okay?
You're going to put everything except the ice water into the bowl of your food processor. Or, if you're old-fashioned like me, you're going to put it in your bowl and grab your pastry cutter.
I love
pastry
to use
blender.
That. I love to use it.
Cut the butter into the flour with your pastry blender. Or, if you're doing the food processor, you're going to pulse it.
Press on. Yes.
Yeah. Once you've pulsed it, it looks like coarse meal, or you've made what's in your bowl look like coarse meal, you're going to add the ice water. And then you're going to either pulse or blend until the dough starts to stick together. Shape that into a disc, wrap it, and chill it for at least 30 minutes.
Now, I'm going to say this because there are a lot of recipes with dough, cookies, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And chill. Always chill.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, there's a reason for the chilling.
Right.
It's so much easier to work with the dough if it's chilled.
Yes. In a lot of cases, it bakes better.
It bakes better. Mm-hmm. Right? Even to your cookie dough, it should always be chilled before you...
Well, this is a shortbread crust.
Yeah.
You know, butter, sugar, deliciousness.
Right.
So yeah, the chilling is essential. Now, when you're ready to assemble the tart, you're going to roll out that dough, carefully transfer it to a tart pan. Tarts look fancy, but they're actually pretty easy and forgiving. Press the dough across the bottom and up the sides of the pan. You're going to trim the excess dough at the top of the pan, and then use that leftover dough to patch any cracks in the crust. You're going to put that baby back in the refrigerator.
And then you're going to get your ingredients for your filling. Okay, so your filling is 4 to 5 ripe pears. This is where this comes in, cored and sliced. 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 1/2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1/4 cup of sugar, and 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon.
Put it all in a bowl.
And mix it.
Toss it to combine. Set it aside, right. Then the crumb toppings, your last bit.
Let's do the ingredients for the toppings. Usually toppings are pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
1 tablespoon of flour or gluten-free flour, 1/3 cup of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of butter or dairy-free butter, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and 1/2 teaspoon of cardamom.
And you're going to throw them in a mixing bowl and either use your pastry blender, 2 knives or your fingers, work that in together till it's crumbly.
And then you're going to put it all together.
Get your crust out. You don't have to arrange the pears. It looks pretty if you put the pears in circles or something. I've just dumped them all in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then sprinkle the topping over it. Bake it for about 40 minutes until the edges of the crust are golden brown and the topping is browning. You're going to let it cool for at least 10 minutes before serving. We love it with a little bit of whipped cream.
And then call your bestie and say, come on over and let's talk some chickens. A cup of coffee.
Would you like some tart?
And a tart.
Coffee and a tart.
What's better?
What in the world is better than coffee and a tart and some chickens? You got it.
Nothing's better.
Nothing's better.
Okay, so try it. You might like it. Let us know what you think. Okay, so let's move on to retail therapy. Retail therapy. Yeah. This week's retail therapy, I mean, we're in the trenches right now, December.
Would you believe that even the chicken Christmas ornaments have caused competition?
No.
They have. Don't believe her.
So we are talking chicken Christmas ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some good ones out there.
Yes.
That we both have.
Yes, there are. There are. We actually have a fair amount of vintage because it's like one for you and one for me.
Whenever we find one, we buy two.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in Williamsburg and you come across the very last Old World Christmas hen.
That was a year before. That was 2 years ago.
And I touched it first. So I bought it.
Dude. Well, I'm going to one-up you right now. Because Old World Christmas, and if you don't know Earl...
Oh, I'm getting that one too.
If you don't know Old World Christmas, they make really, really beautiful glass ornaments for your tree.
You're missing out. Old World Christmas is amazing.
Yeah. Now, Old World Christmas has a new chicken ornament this year. It is the French hen.
I'm getting it.
It is a French hen.
I'm getting it.
Okay.
I heard there's only one left.
No, that was a different... No. The French hen, it's a pretty hen. She's on a blue dish and it's got poinsettias. It's really beautiful. It's $20-some.
It's a great gift to give your bestie.
Or if you like to collect ornaments, hint, but you hint. Do say one. But you buy, say, one ornament every year, this should be the one you get this year.
I think Old World Christmas is definitely one of those ornament companies where you get one ornament for someone and it's a gift and it's saying a lot. Without, you don't have to spend the world on it, but it's a statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a statement ornament and you can get anything in the world. They have an ornament for
everything. They have hot dog ornaments.
They have everything. It's amazing.
Yes.
Okay, so one of my selections is Tractor Supply because we're all in there buying stuff for whatever. And they have a great chicken Christmas section.
They do.
But it starts in like September.
You got to get in there early.
You got to get in there early. And they've had some really cute new, every year they come up with like two or three or four new chicken ornaments. They have the usuals that they have every year. And then they bring out two. Now I found.
They also have sheep and goats and stuff too, which is nice.
They do. And I found the hen on the nest that's ceramic that lights up.
It's very cute.
Oh, man.
It's white. It's a very, very classic ornament. It's pretty.
And it lights up. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, $4.99.
You know what? If you got a few of them and put them with some greenery across a windowsill,
be so pretty.
They'll be so pretty.
You can do a lot of stuff with them. We can do a lot of stuff with them. I bought just a few of them. And, you know, they're amazing. The thing I like about the Tractor Supply stuff is when you buy a bag of food or something, if you're in there, you can buy one ornament and it only adds $4.99 to your bill and you can kind of collect them as you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you put them out. So they have a lot of good chicken stuff in there. My parents gave me the giant chicken stocking for my birthday from there this year.
Oh, that's cute. They had chickens and sheep.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there were anything other than chickens and sheep, but what more do you need?
You don't need anything
except geese.
Nope. Oh, geese. Honk, honk, honk.
Okay. My next pick is from Michaels, and it's the Ashland brand. Is Ashland their house brand?
I don't know.
Because a lot of stuff in Michaels is Ashland.
I like Michaels, and Michaels is always good for some chicken stuff.
I like Michaels a lot. Well, Michaels has a glass rooster from Ashland.
I'm getting it.
Yeah, me too. It's really cute. It's bright colors. It's not like the heirloom look that Old World Christmas has. It's brighter and fun, but it's still a beautiful glass ornament.
And it's $7.50.
Well, that was on sale. I'm not sure if they're still on sale.
Michaels is that store that prices everything and always has it on sale.
Yeah.
Like,
or the good coupons. Get the good coupons. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Okay. So my next ornament that is my choice.
Well, that's the end. This is the last one. You're bringing up the rear.
I'm bringing up the rear, baby. Okay. Is Serve International. Now, have you heard of Serve International?
Yes, I have.
This is like a kind of like co-op, if you want to call
fair
it.
Trade
fair trade
company.
Fair trade company that brings farmers in with artisans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, They have a crochet chick ornament that is to die
for. It is off the chart cute. It is adorable.
It is so cute. Oh my God. I don't know if I can find it again, but I'm off of it. But it is so cute. And I think it was $14.99.
Yeah.
It wasn't too badly priced.
Not for an adorable artisan made thing. A gift for yourself or for somebody else.
Exactly. I
mean, yeah. It's really great.
That chicken lady. So there are your Christmas ornaments of the season that we love.
Go get them.
Go get them. Decorate that Christmas tree with chickens.
With a French hen.
Okay. So should we tell everybody what we're going to be talking about next week?
Well, next week is our Christmas episode.
Yay!
Because it is our Christmas episode, we are spotlighting the Toulouse Goose.
Yeah. I just want to say Toulouse Goose.
Toulouse Goose. I'm going to say it like 50 times during the spotlight. Main topic, we're talking to Donna. Donna's one of the farmers at the 1880s Slate Run Farm.
One of our favorite places.
She's going to tell us all about keeping geese there. They do have Toulouse Goose
and
on the farm.
And Christmas time there.
And Christmas time, including how to cook with that wood-burning oven.
Oh, yeah. It's an 1880s Christmas.
Cracking the eggs. It's our annual bread pudding recipe. We're doing caramel apple bread pudding this year.
Yeah, to die for.
Yeah. And retail therapy, we're going with Neutrina's High Protein Scratch.
You can't go wrong.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day, and kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening.
Ha 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 ha!